Glad you tuned in this afternoon. We're bringing you some of our favorite segments of the last few days and weeks here on the Dory Monson Show. And let's face it, we've had a lot to choose from. I mean, this has been the craziest news cycle of my life. And we've had some, you know, massive stories that we've covered over 25 years. But between coronavirus and CHOP and just the insanity of what's happening in our region on a local level, we've just never had the intensity of news that we've had the last few months and especially just the last few days around here. And it's kind of a double-edged sword because it makes it easy when there's just a never-ending supply of topics, but also makes it challenging because the never-ending supply of topics is just draining. I mean, it really is. And so we also have a lot of really fun stuff that we're going to be presenting for you throughout the show today because we can't be all serious all the time, for crying out loud, because that's wearing people down. It really is. So a little holiday weekend stuff for you here, and we'll be back Monday with a brand new big show. So stay safe this weekend. And one of the stories that we talked about recently was that 19-year-old guy went up to Boom City in Marysville and blew off three of his fingers. And I didn't goof on him at all, because when I was 19 years old, I was capable of doing the exact same thing. It just never happened to happen to me. But I really hope you stay safe. I hope your dogs don't freak out too much. Buddy, our current dog, Buddy's our first dog ever to not be bothered in the slightest by fireworks. So I got that going for me at least. Okay, enjoy. Be safe. See you Monday at high noon. But don't go anywhere because we've got a lot of really cool stuff for you coming up here on the Dory Monson Show.
I mean, it's agonizing to sit through because you're watching something that you should never have to see, where after 5 minutes of it, you go 3 more minutes when the guy wasn't even moving anymore and they kept that knee on the back of the neck. And I can't help but look at that same situation and not visualizing Jay Inslee with his knee on the back of the necks of 7 million people in the state of Washington. Actually, I take that back. Only the people that Jay Inslee says are non-essential does he have the knee on the back of the necks of those people. He's saying that private businesses, small businesses, all of you, I'm going to put my knee on the back of your neck and I'm going to hold you down. That is exactly what's going on right now.
Okay, so that's what Tim Iman, who wants to be governor, said. And now Tim Iman joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. And Tim, after listening to that audio from you, my first question is, have you gone completely insane?
I think there's not enough attention being made to the people that are really in suffering here in the state of Washington. Well over 1 million people fired by Jay Inslee.
No,
businesses all declared non-essential.
I know all of that, and I have been on the governor incessantly, and I think that much of this economic shutdown was contrived. But, I mean, it just in the name of decency, Tim, how in the world do you make a comparison between that and the human tragedy of George Floyd? I mean, that is just absolutely unthinkable to me. How could you do that?
And you're perfectly free to have that opinion, but if you heard the same stories I hear day in and day out about suicide, about people that are actually not getting medical attention, because Jay Inslee said entire swaths of our populace were non-essential. What person after person not getting the same kind of attention? The media simply cannot keep track of all that misery, and instead we're focusing on one person, which I watched that video. I absolutely made my blood boil. I think it should have been first-degree murder, not second-degree murder. But you can have compassion and empathy for more than one person at a time. And right now, I don't believe that there are enough people. I do not believe there's enough focus on everybody else.
Well, you say the media, but I don't think anybody's been more vociferous about the things that have happened in this state and the governor's role in that. But you've seen what's happened around the country the last week. Cities are burning, I'm disgusted and nauseated by what happened to George Floyd. I'm angry with the governor for what he's done. But to conflate those two issues, especially at this time in America, I'm serious, Tim. That's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Hey, I think if you heard the same kind of pain, kind of misery that Jay Inslee
every day
has conflicted. Forgive me, Dory, if you want to have a conversation with yourself, go ahead. But if you want to have somebody on that's actually going to answer, please don't interrupt.
No, I've heard those stories.
Point. Here's the problem.
What do you mean,
you can't quantify all the pain and suffering that's going on because Jay Inslee is making the determination for 7 million people how they're going to live their lives. And if it was everybody, it'd be one thing. But instead, he's made determinations over who is non-essential.
I know,
and those non-essential people are dying.
They have just
as much right to the compassion that we feel rightly for George Floyd. That injustice that we feel, why can't we feel that same injustice for people that are dying in the state of Washington?
Okay. I let you make your point. Look, I've made all of those points. You say that I don't hear the stories. I probably hear as many or more than you. I get hundreds of emails and text messages from my listeners who can't get unemployment. But I can be angry about that. I can be nauseated about what that cop did to George Floyd. I would never in a billion years try to conflate the two. And here's my question for you, Tim. When you've run...
hoping you'd get to a question at some point. That'd be nice.
When you've run all of your initiative campaigns, you've told me time and again that people can hate you but like $30 tabs, and they're going to vote for $30 tabs in spite of you. Now you're running for governor, and this is about people liking you personally. And when you say something like that, you can defend it all you want, Tim, but when you say something like comparing what Inslee's doing to the state, to George...
And there's a question in there somewhere, right?
I'm getting to it, yes. Do you really think that this helps your gubernatorial campaign when personal likability is what is absolutely essential if you want people to vote for you?
I think it's critically important for anybody who's running for office is to represent people that don't have a voice. Right now, the people who are dying in the state of Washington from suicide, from lack of medical attention because Jay Inslee said that they're not essential. They deserve just as much of a voice, but they're not getting it right now because the media is so obsessed with COVID, only listening to what Jay Inslee says to them. And Jay Inslee says that every single non-essential person is heartless and selfish if they're only looking out for themselves when all they're trying to do is survive and be able to actually be treated the same as all the essential people are. I would just simply argue that there's a lot of people in the media that have been designated essential that have lost track of the fact that if you are a non-essential person right now, you feel voiceless, and at least there's somebody saying, let's pay attention to those people too.
You said let's have somebody say that. You obviously have not listened to my radio show the last 2 months because that has been an almost singular topic of my COVID-19 coverage, is what is happening to the people, what's happened to the suicide rate, what's happened to the unemployed in this state. But you completely ignored my question. Do you think that
dragging the
George Floyd story into this helps your likability as you try to get people to vote for you?
I honestly believe we're not going to make it to November for there to even be an election for a lot of people. And people need help right now.
You're
That's one of the reasons
question.
Why we're in. So Luke, I am exactly listening to your question.
I asked,
what is
do you
higher
think
priority?
This helps your likability?
What is a higher priority to you? whether or not people like me or whether or not people open Washington now, are you madder at Jay Inslee for what he's done or for what I've said? He's actually destroying lives right now, and you seem to be more upset by something I said than what he's doing right now.
I can be mad about both.
Who are actually dying, Dory.
I can be mad about both, Tim. I can be angry about what that cop did. I can be angry what Inslee's doing. I can be angry by what you said. But for you to drag that, and you still haven't answered my question. You asked for a question. Do you think with the people of Washington that it helps your likability to compare Jay Inslee to a Minneapolis cop who's going to be on trial for second-degree murder? Do you think that helps your likability?
I've spent 22 years fighting for issues and not worrying about whether or not people like me or not. And voters are going to decide based on my ideas. And the idea of people being afraid to criticize the governor, people being afraid to speak up. You said you can be equally angry with me. What's wrong with me saying we can be equally burning in anger and frustration with what happened to the man in Minneapolis? But can't we feel that same anger and frustration for Jay Inslee saying that people are heartless and selfish if they simply try and stand up for themselves?
And I do. I do feel that anger on
it's
both
counts. It's not about you, Dory.
But
it's
I'm not going to compare the two. I'm not going to compare what Jay Inslee is doing to the state
running
to a Minneapolis cop.
It's not about you. It's about whether or not there are people out there that feel voiceless right now. That
and
are
I'm
suffering
fighting for
right
those
now,
people.
And the cameras are not on them. They're on this. And it's an insane tragedy what's going on here. There's also tragedies going on in the state of Washington, and I don't believe there's enough of a focus on them. But, and I'm talking about the pain of suicide, of medical conditions not going on. It's highlighting the broken system we have in this state.
Tim, you're just playing a broken record now. I'm fighting for those people every single day. I do it without dragging a singular American tragedy in Minneapolis. I mean, you did this for the shock value. You did this, even though you sound kind of pissed off at my tone of voice, you did this so I'd have you on the radio show today. And so King 5 would talk to you, and now you seem upset that we're calling you out on it.
No, not at all. I'm trying to defend my position, and I'm simply highlighting the fact that too many in the media, if you don't want to exclude yourself, that's fine. Too many in the media, because they've been declared essential by Jay Inslee, they don't feel that same kind of pain. If you were not getting paid for the last 8 weeks, if you weren't getting unemployment insurance for the last 8 weeks, if you had a medical condition actually put your life in danger, if you had actually gone through that, I would think that you might have a different attitude compared to a whole lot of people out there that are suffering, that are in pain. I heard of a husband took his own life.
Tim,
because Jay Inslee does. No, you've got to let me make this point.
Suicides are up 30%
in Yakima. His own life. A man took his own life because his business was destroyed, and he figured the only way he could take care of his wife is with insurance. That was his only option.
So why could
is not getting the level of attention that we would get, because we are dealing with a situation where we're totally focused on one horrific tragedy. Why can't we have this same level of intention on all of it?
That is absolute nonsense. I have focused far more on what's happening in this state. I've focused 1,000 times more on what's happening in this state than the tragedy in Minneapolis, because I do a Seattle talk show. I can make all of the points you just talked about.
No,
wait a second. I can make all of the points you just talked about without me trying to sensationalistically bring in a national tragedy to make my points. I don't need to do that.
Do you believe that Como TV, King TV, Cairo TV, and Q13 have had the same laser beam focus that you've had on the misery that's going on because of Jay Inslee?
No, I do not. But I think that I'm rather unique in the local media, or yokel media, as I started to say. No, the local media. I think I'm unique in that regard in many ways, and I think that's why my show does as well as it does. But I can make my points, Tim, without sensationalistically bringing a national tragedy in to try to make my points, because you lose when you have to stoop to levels like that.
I fundamentally believe that the voters of this state are sick and tired of having Jay Inslee making these determinations of essential and non-essential, and there isn't enough attention being brought on those people, because frankly, it's hard to quantify suicides, hard to quantify medical conditions not being taken care of, and those people will eventually die. And I think that the voters deserve somebody that's going to fight for everybody in the state, especially ones that are voiceless outside of those that are listening to Cairo.
All right. All right. I got it. Tim, I appreciate you talking with me about all this.
And by the way, Lewis County Superior Court, we lost. Judge said, I'm not going to decide this thing. I'm going to send it off to Thurston County Superior Court on whether or not we should open up our schools. That's where we were this morning.
Okay. All right. Appreciate you coming on, Tim.
Thank you, man.
Tim Iman joining me from Olympia. I'd like to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, glad you're hanging out with us this afternoon here on the Dory Monson Show. And it is a holiday weekend. So we couldn't just, you know, leave you high and dry. So Nicole just spent hours upon hours picking out a lot of our favorite segments or more fun segments, stuff that we thought you would love to hear again. So we're going to be sprinkling those in throughout the afternoon here. So thanks for tuning in with us. Be safe this weekend and enjoy some of our favorites, well, some of Nicole's favorite segments in the recent past here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as I said at the top of the show, this is just an incredibly, incredibly difficult time for our country, for communities, for individuals. And I spent a lot of time Sunday in prayer on all of this because Tony Dungy sent out beautiful words, a quote from the Bible, and said, "You must overcome hate with love." And I thought about that an awful lot this weekend. And I also understand that we look at these things from really different perspectives. Michael Bumpus is one of my co-hosts on our Seahawks pre- and post-game coverage. He is my friend, and he joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Michael, good to talk to you today.
Nice talking to you too, Dory. I appreciate you inviting me on and just get some insight about what's going on in this country, man.
Yeah, well, like I said, I think now more than ever, you know, I've always just kind of looked into my personal relationships, and you and I met each other 3 years ago, and you're a good friend of mine now, and yet I understand that in these larger issues, there are vastly different perspectives. So I heard you had some really emotional stuff that you were talking about on social over the weekend. So tell me a little bit about all of what's in your heart and your head and your soul.
Yeah, you know, obviously, Dory, it's difficult, you know. These are tough times that we're going through. And, you know, as a black man, as a role model to my kids, as a father, felt it was important that I spoke out, because there aren't a lot of people that I know with this little platform that I do have, you know. And I've been hit up by my friends and, you know, my white friends, and they're asking me, you know, how can I help? And, you know, my black friends, we're having different conversations, and conversation is good. I'm glad that people are reaching out, because if we were just to stay silent, then, you know, what else? What's going to change? How are we going to get anywhere? So first off, I want to thank anybody, black, white, brown, Asian, whatever you are. If you are reaching out, if you are speaking out, then I think we're moving in the right direction.
Okay, so tell me about the life experience that informs your perspective on what's going down right now.
I think it's important for people to realize that everyone has a different reality, right? Growing up in West Los Angeles, Culver City, my reality as far as law enforcement was, I was probably gonna get messed with if they saw me, especially if I was driving. When an officer got behind me, I was probably gonna get pulled over. And no matter if I was speeding, wasn't speeding, if I'm walking down the street and a police officer sees me, I'm probably going to be asked a question, you know? So that's my reality. And it became part of my everyday life. You know, it almost became normal, Dory. It was like, doesn't everyone go through this? You know,
we've all heard the phrase driving while black. How many times do you think you were pulled over for just no reason other than the color of your skin?
When I was in high school, I could probably say I got pulled over in Culver City 30 times, 25, 30 times. I probably received a ticket maybe 3 to 5, maybe 6 times, you know, for like speeding or seatbelt or something. But a lot of the times they pull us over, ask us where we're going. Where do you live? Can we search your car? And, you know, we just want to comply. Yeah. Do whatever you gotta do. Search the car. You know, here's my ID, you know, cause that was just our norm. You know, we knew that it was easier not to ask any questions and just do what they tell you to do. So we can make it home safe. And that's what my mom taught me. She goes, look, just make it home to me. You know, that's all that matters, is that you make it home to me. So, yeah, pretty often, man, pretty often I've been pulled over and sat down on the curb. And, you know, I thought that was normal, honestly, Dory, until I left L.A. and experienced some other stuff.
Were you fearful every time that you know, one thing goes south and all of a sudden you could be a victim?
I was fearful, but I also knew that, I felt I could communicate to get out of it. But I knew that there was a risk. I was definitely nervous. You know, I had rehearsed it plenty of times before. You know, I knew there was an element in the air that this could go south if, these certain things don't happen. And that's not to say, again, I don't bash every cop. You know, there's good cops out there. I know good cops. I've just experienced a lot of bad cops. You know, that was just my reality. And I think people have to remember that it's hard to put yourself in someone else's shoes. But if you're getting information from a credible source or you feel that is credible, take that, you know, take that information and just try to understand where someone else is coming from and what their life was like.
Sure. Okay. So with that as your reality and your life experience, how does that affect, I don't know, a human being with a pulse that watched what happened to George Floyd and wasn't nauseated and repulsed by that cop, and he should go to prison for murder, of course. As you watch that, I mean, if that's your life experience, I can't imagine being sicker and more nauseated than I was the first time I watched that video. But I'm guessing, based on what I just heard, that there's a new depth of sickening and nausea that somebody like you feels when you see something like that.
Yeah. Honestly, when I first saw the video, I didn't know the context behind it, right? I see this officer on George's neck, and I'm like, all right, he's under control. He has to get up. And he doesn't get up, and he's staying there. And I'm looking at the eyes of this officer. That's not a human being under his knee. Where I grew up, man, it's you've seen that look, you know, you've seen how we've had experiences where police officers just don't look at us the same. You know, they don't treat us the same. They don't talk to us the same. There are police officers that do. And I always want to back that up. There are police officers that do. But when I saw George down there on the ground, it hurt. I was mad. I was angry. I was confused. And at the end of it, I wasn't surprised, because that's been happening for so long. I mean, it's been happening for so long. Anyone in the black community knows somebody who was either beat up, harassed, or even killed by police officers. That's part of our reality. So when I'm seeing that, I'm feeling all these emotions. And then at the end of it, I'm like, I'm not surprised, because that's the way I've seen people of color treated for so long. It's just now that it feels like the rest of the world, the rest of the country is seeing it at its rawest form.
Okay, and then let's fast forward, Michael. We're talking to Michael Bumpus, who's on our Seahawks pre and post game with me. Let's fast forward to this weekend, where there were people who wanted to peacefully protest, demonstrate. Demonstrations are a treasured, amendment-protected right that we have. And they're also the way that people who think they are voiceless can be heard. And we all cherish Americans' rights to protest and demonstrate. But what we saw was all of those get hijacked by violent rioting across the country, rioting in Seattle, rioting in Bellevue yesterday. And as you watched all of that unfold, what was your perspective?
Initially, you know, watching the protests happen, I was proud. You know, people are out there, and it's not just people of color. I mean, I see white people out there. I see everyone out there. I know people who are going out there, and I'm checking in with them, and they're talking about just how powerful this is and how it's a moment and how there's so much unity. And then as the parade goes on, you see the violence start kicking in. And then I automatically feel just heavy again, you know, because these people who are out there doing this are taking the message away. And unfortunately, there are some outlets out there who are only going to focus on those people because in our country, violence sells. You know, I've seen coverage of the peaceful protest, but not as much as the guys who are going in there and checking it or messing it up. And there were two types of people out there.
About 90 minutes ago, George Floyd's brother spoke to a crowd in Minneapolis and was furious at the violence there, and that it just disrespected his brother and their family and his memory. And, you know, I think that we're unified by a few things, and more than ever, we need to focus on that. We're unified by our universal disgust for that Minnesota cop. We're unified by our, you know, just anger at the rioting that happened. And I think most right-thinking people say protests and demonstrations are, there's a reason these are all constitutionally protected. It's our right as Americans to be heard. So, you know, coming out of this, that's what I want to focus on, Michael, the things that unify all of us. And it's just heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking what we're all going through right now.
Yeah, it is, man. And especially because, you know, it hurts when everything gets lumped into one category, right? It's like one thing happens, so it's all about the violence. Another thing's happened, it's all about that. I just hope that people really look at these videos, you know, see what's out there, you know, do your research, and focus on the positive that was coming out of those rallies and those protests, because people really came together. You know, I got right wing and left wingers as friends, you know, and we're communicating, we're talking about it, you know, and there's anger behind it, you know, there's sadness behind it, but all this has to be talked about. And I think that people will find sympathy and empathy if they just realize that our realities are different. But at the core, we are all the same. We're all human beings. We should all love each other. But there's going to be some bad people out there who are going to jack stuff up, who are going to change the message or try to change the message. Let's just focus on what the message is. There are too many African Americans out there dying because of police brutality. It's plain and simple. That's what it is. Now, what can we do to change that? We don't have to agree on everything, but if we can just all get behind that, the majority of us get behind that, which I think the majority of us are behind that, and focus on that and pump that narrative out there of making change, then we'll be good to go. I don't even want to give these guys, you know, Dory, it's kind of like when a guy runs across the field streaking at a soccer match or something, you know, they tell you he's out there, they give him a little pub and then they're gone. Yeah. They won't move on. Like, don't give these guys the satisfaction of all this airtime. Pump the positivity out there, pump the change out there. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's definitely hard times, but I think we can get through it.
Yes, we can. All right. Michael, I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on with me today.
No problem, Dory. Talk to you soon.
All right. Michael Bumpus, you hear him on our Seahawks pre- and post-game coverage, and enjoyed talking with him about all this. Okay, love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Listener said this to me. So I don't know if you heard, Jay Inslee's running for governor again. And I think he's just been horrible as governor. And when he said more than 24 hours after Chaz started that, oh, that's news to me. When he decided to just, you know, joke about it, lie about it to that extent, diminish it. And he has just shown absolute benign neglect for the largest city in his state. But Jay Inslee's a Democrat and none of the Republican candidates. I had no interest in running. I seriously thought about it, but I just had no interest. Anyway, Jay Inslee has a store if you want to buy campaign apparel. Guess where they make the T-shirts for the Jay Inslee for Governor store? In Texas. Seriously, Governor? You couldn't find a T-shirt manufacturer, silk screener in Washington State? You make your T-shirts in Texas? Yeah, he wants to be president still. He just doesn't know how he's going to make that happen.